You're listening to Podiatry Marketing, conversations on building a successful podiatry practice with Tyson Franklin and Jim McDonald.
Welcome back to Podiatry Marketing. I'm your host, Jim McDonald, joined as always with my trusty co-host, Tyson Franklin. Tyson, what's going on today?
Good morning, Jim. Not a lot is happening at the moment, but I can see you're almost about to burst out laughing. You've got a funny smirk on your face.
We get into funny little jokes. Different things happen before we push record. So I'll save the audience, but definitely never a dull moment, never a dull recording with you, Tyson, for sure.
Wouldn't it be interesting if we did videos and we released the conversations before, the conversations after, the mistakes that we edit out, we would be arrested.
probably.
Well, one of us would be. Probably you. Because in Australia, we're open slather on. We can do whatever we want.
There you go.
To a point. Okay, we should dive into this.
Yeah, so we're going to jump into today.
We are going to talk about convenience is one of the best marketing tools. And I was on a webinar a few weeks back, and on the webinar they had these seven things I was going through, but one of them was convenience always wins. And when I was going back through my notes, I thought, yeah, it always wins because convenience is a fantastic marketing tool. And it's because it's something that everybody wants. It doesn't matter how old you are, your age, your gender, ethnicity, occupation, doesn't matter what it is, everybody wants convenience. And to give an idea of what convenience really means, it's just about the ability to proceed with something without any difficulty. There's no barriers in between. So everybody basically wants that. And I know if I've ever been somewhere, had great service, or I've ordered a product and it's arrived on time or it's arrived earlier, you talk about it. You'll tell your friends, you'll tell your family, work colleagues. And to me, that's why convenience is a great marketing tool, because it probably just increases your word of mouth sort of traffic.
Yeah, I think it's huge now these days, right? I think for a long time, people were used to waiting long periods to see a doctor, or if they want to see someone really good, unless they had a connection with them, they expected to wait. But just the way that things are going with technology, whether it's having Amazon Prime or Netflix, or we have a culture now that expects things on demand. So if it takes weeks or even days sometimes for people to come in and see a doctor, it doesn't feel convenient. And like you said, when it's convenient, people are willing to talk about it. They're willing to share on social media or talk to a friend at a gathering about a great experience they had. But also the opposite of that is true, right? If someone has a bad experience, they're also willing to share that pretty readily on a Google review or to talk to their neighbor or their friends about it. So this level of convenience and how convenient you can make getting in with you, the kind of care and treatment you provide is hugely important.
Well, I don't know. Like, I'm a little bit older than you, Jim. And I don't know, back in your day when you used to take photos on a camera, not digital cameras, and you take it down to the Photoshop or the pharmacy, the chemist, and hand in, and you had to wait 2 weeks before you got your photos back. And then when they did arrive, if you had a roll of 24 photos, usually 12 of them were blurred, somebody wasn't smiling, half the photos were terrible. And then I remember progressing through to being a week, to being a day, and then all of a sudden, same day service, you could put your photos in and then come back in an hour and pick your photos up. And it was sort of like, my God, how much that's changed. I look at my daughter now, and when she takes a photo, if she can't see it instantly on her phone, she would go, well, why would you even bother taking a photo if you can't check it out straight away? So generations have just gotten used to things being more convenient. So to give an example, like what inconvenience is, on the other hand, it's anything that's an annoying occurrence that actually causes problems or difficulties for someone. And a perfect example is if there's a roadblock and you're going to take a detour, that is inconvenient, especially if you weren't expecting it. If you normally drive somewhere a certain time, you've allowed a certain amount of time to do it, and all of a sudden there's a roadblock and you've got to go the long way around, and that interrupts your day or interrupts your routine, that is an inconvenience and that really annoys people. It's got me thinking about what are some of the things in a podiatry business that inconvenience patients, and I thought it would be good to talk about them and some of the ways that we can actually overcome them.
Yeah, there's no short amount of things that can annoy patients, you know, either before they get into your clinic or while they're at your clinic. And if you're able to kind of smooth out those road bumps and make it a great patient experience for them, like you said, you can turn something that was previously an inconvenience into convenience and really wow them with the type of, you know, patient experience they have in your practice.
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest inconvenience for any patient is the podiatrist running late. And last week, I went to the chiropractor, supposed to be a 3 p.m. appointment. I had to be somewhere at 4 o'clock. I'm looking at my watch. It's like 3:35, and I'm going, I could have been, and at the time, I was editing a podcast, which is why I jumped in my car and left. I could have finished doing the editing, and the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm just thinking, I could be doing something else. Luckily, I'd allowed that amount of time to get to the next appointment, but I wish I didn't have to sit there for 35 minutes. So then I realized, that puts people out. So I reckon some of the things that you should be doing if your podiatrists are running late all the time, or if you're running late, for starters, make longer appointment times. That's one easy way. Make your appointment times longer so that if you do happen to finish early, you can always be running on time. Or if you happen to be running a little bit late, it's easy to basically catch up.
Yeah, I definitely have heard longer appointment times are just putting a little bit of a buffer between some of those appointments that you're unsure how long it's going to take. But yeah, when you're running late on a consistent basis, everyone's going to have a bad day now and then. But unless you have some of these protocols or these kind of ideas about how to smooth it out a little bit, it's going to reflect poorly on you and it'll just frustrate patients. And sometimes it'll have an impact on, you know, what they perceive as your professionalism, right? So everyone's going to have a bad day, but if you find yourself running behind all the time, you need to implement some of these things you're talking about, Tyson.
Oh, definitely. And I think that if you stick to your scheduled time. If somebody is booked in for a 15-minute appointment, they get 15 minutes. If somebody's booked in for a half-an-hour appointment, they get half an hour. They don't get 33 minutes because they want to keep talking. If they were booked in at 10 and the appointment finishes at 10:30 and they arrive at 10:12, you finish at 10:30. That was their allotted time. It's not your fault that they ran late, and I don't think the rest of your patients should be punished because you had one patient who arrived late. And they might say, oh, there was a roadblock and there was this. That's fine. Still not your problem. Give them the allocated amount of time. Now, if you feel bad and you want to charge them less for that appointment, by all means do it. But I think you still should charge them normal, because that'll make the patient realize maybe you should leave a little bit earlier next time. Maybe you should allow for traffic. And you'll find the patients that turn up late, and I've got friends that turn up late for things, their whole life is late. They were probably, you know, when they were delivered, they were probably 2 weeks late when they were born. And it's just stuck with them the whole time. So don't keep making allowances for these people. Whatever their time schedule is, they fit in with that time schedule. Or if they arrive really late, you just say, unfortunately, we can't see you. You have to reschedule. And so I think if you are running late, it's really important. Inform the patients when they arrive that you're running late. When I was at the chiropractor, if they knew he was running half an hour late, they should have told me as soon as I walked in, hey, Tyson, good to see you. Just letting you know, yeah, the chiropractor's running 30 minutes late. I could have gone, great, I'm going to go outside and make these phone calls that I have to do. Or I had my laptop in the car, I'll jump on my laptop and I'll keep editing the podcast. I'll come back in half an hour. If they knew he was running half an hour, like, ring me and say, Tyson, letting you know he's running half an hour behind. Because this is what my GP, my doctor used to do. I don't think there's anything wrong with ringing patients and saying, hey, the person's running behind. But I think this is so important. This is something where you need to have a team meeting. You all need to put your heads together and you all need to figure out strategies so you never run late. And my podiatry business, when I had it, and we were seeing a ton of patients and we always ran on time. That was one of our biggest marketing things, was we ran on time.
Yeah, it's a huge sign of respect, right? Whether you're able to communicate that with at the front desk or give a call that you're running a half an hour late. It just is a huge sign of respect because people are busy, right? And people have other things that they've either put on pause or put off to come see you. And when you show, you know, when you communicate with them and you show them that respect, they're not necessarily like it, but the fact that you actually took the time to do it is a huge thing. And, you know, if you can put in some protocols and meet with your team to put in place, if you're running behind, I think it definitely makes sense.
And this is what people don't realize, is if your podiatrist is always running late or you're running late, you teach your patients that you are incompetent when it comes to organizing your time. Right. So when they have other appointments that are really important, this is why they ring up day before and they cancel their appointments. And you go, oh, rotten mongrel, why are they canceling with such short notice? Because other important things have evolved and they know that you're not very good at keeping the schedule.
Yeah, it definitely is a little bit of a loss of trust there between you and the patient when you're always running late.
Yeah, so the second thing I think is really inconvenient is when the podiatrist is so busy, oh, I'm booked out weeks or months ahead, and therefore the patient that you just saw needs to see you again for something and they cannot get a suitable time to come back in. And I think if you are that busy that you see a patient on Monday and you can't get them back in that week somehow, then you're obviously not charging enough. You need to increase your fees and you need to cull the week. You need to free up your appointment book a little bit more. Or the other suggestion is you need to time block for different appointment types based on what you want to see more of. So if you want to see more running patients, more MSK patients, you need to allow time in your diary that they can get in and then you can reappoint them for the next treatment and they can get the service that they actually need.
Yeah, the scheduling is huge, right? And maybe someone's just getting into practice, doesn't have that experience, or maybe talking to a mentor or someone that's in the, can kind of help guide you as far as some ideas around that scheduling of your agenda to make sure that you are leaving those recurring patients that, like you said, fitting in the type of care you want to provide. That's hugely important, because if you just leave it to chance and your book is kind of all over the place, you're going to have either really busy days, and then you're going to run into the first problem that we talked about, running behind. So you want to try to make sure that your schedule is really tuned in to the type of care you want to provide, but also provides it at a high level for the patients so they have a great experience.
I'm yet to have a coaching client who's come to me saying, I'm booked out weeks or months ahead, that we have not within a couple of months been able to increase their fees by a considerable amount and actually create less work for themselves and be able to get more of what they want in there. But people straight away put this label, oh no, I'm booked out so many months ahead, like it's a big badge on their chest. I couldn't possibly put my fees up. I can't do this. It's impossible for me to move patients or have them go somewhere else. I'm going, well, you can, because I've done it so many times with other people. And it is possible. You just need to be shown how to do it how to do it professionally. I think is the main thing. And majority of podiatrists I know, when they're in that boat where they're booked out, especially months ahead, they do not charge enough. Most of them do not charge enough money. Well, they don't charge enough for the services that they're providing. And they have certain patients that just, sometimes they're seeing them every month where they probably don't need to be seen for every 3 months. It's sort of think about it a little bit more.
Yeah, that's not always just the schedule. Sometimes it is, like you said, it's the fees and having the courage and the knowledge to kind of increase those prices. It's definitely something to consider.
So the third thing, and this is a really big one that surprises me, is it's an inconvenience for how long some patients have to wait to get their orthotics. I graduated in 88, 36 years ago. I remember 36 years ago, you would do a plaster cast or however you did it, you'd send it off to a lab and they'd be back in 2 weeks. Move ahead 36 years, and I know there's podiatrists that still make their patients wait 2 weeks. And I'm thinking, how is that possible? How can 30-something years later, patients still have to wait 2 weeks to get a pair of orthotics? Makes no sense to me. I don't understand it.
Yeah, with the 3D printers and things now, I think it's going to be even, not even days, it's going to be hours until the patient can pick up their orthotics.
Yeah, well, we evolved to the point where we had our own milling machine on site. We had the ability that if you had an appointment for 11, we'd have them for you after lunch. Same day service. Now, we didn't do it for everyone, but we had a 24-hour guarantee. But I knew that was something that was going to set me apart from every other podiatrist. So that was my goal. Get our own milling machine, get it set up, same day or 24-hour service, and that was convenient for our patients. And our orthotic numbers and patient numbers went through the roof when we did that. But I think if you've got a lab, inquire about express fees. How much extra do I have to pay that I can get this information to you and you can get it back to me in the matter of days, not weeks? And no matter what fee they tell you, see if you can negotiate the price. And if they're going, oh, if they won't budge, look at other labs. especially if you turn over, if you're doing 50, 100 pairs of orthotics a month, you've got buying power. Go to another lab, see what they're providing. Can they do the express service for free? Will they just include that? And some of the labs I used to use before we had a milling machine actually did that for me because of the numbers that we were doing. But if they won't, ask the patient, oh, for an extra $25, $30, I can get this back for you in 2 days. Would you prefer that? Most patients, if they're in pain and they need the orthotics, will pay the extra fee.
Yeah, it's definitely a convenience thing. And like I said, you know, people expect things yesterday now. It's an on-demand culture we live in now. And if you can make it as convenient as possible by having that express be a part of it, I think that's a huge benefit to you and to your practice.
And the fourth thing I had was can't find a car park. Parking is a massive, can either be really convenient or can be really inconvenient for the patient. And if you're not in control of your car park or where your clinic is, parking is a little bit difficult. Make the patient aware ahead of time that parking can sometimes be difficult at given times. So I know some people will have a clinic across from a school. So around school drop off and pick up, awful time to try and find a park. But the rest of the time it might be great. So make the patient aware of that. Or just give them suggestions. Just go, oh, to try and find a park right at the front can be hard, but around the corner in such and such street, there's always parking there. So give them some suggestions, or if you just know it's going to be difficult, go, I suggest you leave 10 minutes ahead of what you thought, because getting a park around here can sometimes be hard. Now, if a patient's aware of that, they'll arrive early. They go, yeah, you're right. The parking is terrible. They'll find a park, but they'll still arrive on time. Instead of turning up, and to me, this is a difference. I don't know what it's like in Canada or the US or if anybody else is in another country, but I know a lot of specialist surgeons and all that in Australia, they make it part of their goal in life is to make parking difficult for patients. Most specialists will be in an area where all the specialists are and the parking is crap because they don't care because they're specialists. They charge an arm and a leg to see them and they don't give a shit if you're inconvenienced or not. They just don't care. But I think the rest of us who are in a caring profession, if parking is difficult, we need to make the patients very aware of it so they don't get frustrated.
Yeah, the parking thing is definitely a huge convenience factor for people. Like obviously I live in a big city where parking is a nightmare. So if I can not have to drive or park somewhere, I'll choose that first. But a lot of times you have to park. So, and also in the US, I always love, in Canada and Australia, you call it a car park.
Yeah.
But in the US, we call it parking lots.
I was going to say, like parking lot, a parking lot.
Yeah, a parking lot. So it's always, I always love hearing these different English ways of saying a different terminology. So yeah, car park, parking lot, all good.
Yeah, well, if we had got our independence hundreds of years ago, we would probably say parking lot too. And we might have even decided, you know what, we're going to drive on the other side of the road just for the hell of it.
There you go.
Just because we can. We're going to do the exact opposite to what you're doing. Anyway, the last thing I just want to talk about was just whatever your online booking process is just go through it yourself and make sure it's simple. Make sure it makes sense. I've seen some booking sites on different healthcare websites. Really simple to navigate. You get in, bang, 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 you make the appointment really easy. I've seen other ones where you get in there and I'm going, oh my God, this is a bit of a pain. And then, and we spoke about this on one of the previous podcasts where they'll have a form on there. They want you to fill out all this information and then you arrive at the clinic on time and they want you to fill in the same information. That is inconvenient. Make it as convenient as possible. So, like I said, have a team meeting. Think about what convenience means to your patients. And it's really look at all the areas where you can create less barriers. Is ease of purchase. So if you're recommending a foot cream or some form of product, strapping tape, have it handy for them to purchase it. Hey, this is the foot cream we recommend. We've got it at the front. They don't have to jump in the car, then go and drive to another place to go and buy that cream. So small things like that, if you're recommending it, have them on site and you will actually make some extra money from it. And then just think about what else do they need? What else will they need next week, next month, next year? And try and navigate your business around that. Just try and make the whole experience with your business fantastic. They will leave. And when they do leave, they're going to talk about your business in a really positive way.
Yeah, it's a great way to market your clinic, right? Is this kind of word of mouth. It still exists. There's like digital word of mouth, regular word of mouth. Yeah. And the more, the better patient experience you provide, the more likely you're going to get that positive word of mouth. So just, like you said, do everything you can in your practice to make it as convenient as possible for the patient. There's a lot of different ways of doing it. There's even probably more than we talked about today. I'm sure we could spend hours talking about this topic, but I think it was a really great topic to bring up today and very relevant. So
no, that's enough for me today. Cause I, like I said, I get fired up sometimes, but no, that's good. I like this particular subject because it is such a great marketing tool. And even though you'll hear some organizations say, oh, word of mouth marketing is dead. No, I still think word of mouth marketing is one of the best. You build up your reputation, like you said, online or offline, people will talk about you. And when you're part of the conversation in a positive way, it can only help build your business. So this has been a fantastic subject, Jim.
Yeah, I've enjoyed, Tyson.
Okay, I shall talk to you next week.
All right, sounds great.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Podiatry Marketing with Tyson Franklin and Jim McDaniel. Subscribe and learn more at Podiatry Marketing. That's the website address, podiatry.marketing.